Thank you, Mr. Westhoddle. Let us enter the mindset of worshiping in spirit and in truth. You'll open the Word of God to the Gospel of John 16. Just an unbelievable chapter. There's so much going on. Personal, historical, and things that just relate to the disciples, things that relate to us. It's just amazing. And I was like, people are kind of get me, you know, I'm in a mindset. It's taken my wife a little while to learn getting here, get up in the morning, get here, and then after I'm through teaching, just I'm in some other zone. I don't know what it is. And so Eve brings me this thing here now, and it says, this is serious stuff. I mean, this is not a joke. I'm going to make a joke out of it. The end of the world is almost here. Holy God will bring judgment day on May 21st, 2011. May 21st.
Yeah. Right after your birthday.
Boy. Man.
He's like a year older than
your body, man. Yeah, start. And use all our money up? Man, if you knew it was going to happen, man, along you can have a ball. And, you know, the little phrase in the Bible, and sometimes I'll have to work on it and I'll probably come up with something weird, is the expression, or the phrase, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And I mean, I've seen some of the weirdest things come out of that. And that's one of the main things he bases this on. He says, just reading very quickly, let's see. Therefore, let me get on my glasses here. I mean, this is fine print. Look at this. This is probably an 8 fonts. Okay. Therefore, with correct understanding that 7 days referred to in Genesis 7:4 can be understood as 7,000 years, we learn that when God told Noah there were 7 days to escape worldwide destruction, he was also telling the world there would be exactly 7,000 years. One day is 1,000 years to the Lord. So because he told Noah, you got 7 days, 7,000 years. Boy, I tell you what.
How did he come up with the day of the 21st is what I want to know. Okay,
well, I didn't get that far. I don't know how he came up with that. But probably the day of the flood was on May the 21st or something. I don't know. And Noah kept good records on all of that. Yeah. His secretary did. And so poor old Ark has really had a lot of stuff. I got a email today, and it had the ark, and all over the ark were holes, and it says the woodpecker's got to go. I don't think you want to count on May 21st being the end of the world, but I don't think you do. And Eve said that there was a poll taken by some other site playing off of this. And what was it, Eve? 60 what?
68%.
68% did not believe it.
No.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about prayer. First of all, people, we need to continue to be in prayer daily. For Anil, and Jim, kind of give us an update.
Yeah, Jim. He's feeling better. The pain is not quite as severe. The new medication, and it is shingles.
Shingles?
That's how it is. And she's now getting a little bit of sleep because of the new medication.
Okay. When they identify it, then they can start working in different things on it. That's okay. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer for Anil. Tell her that we care. Do what? And pray for Jim. Jim, I've now learned what that's like. So you got to pray for Jim. And when one hurts, the other doesn't sleep. And so we'll be in prayer and get a little more sleep. And then secondly, we had an answer to prayer. Tish made it back. I don't know if we can say okay, but she made it back, and she's feeling well. It really, it isn't because of the trip though that she's feeling this so badly right now.
No,
I said other thing. Okay, so she had a safe trip there, a safe trip back. Let's see. I want to talk to her about tithing though. If you get money certain ways, you got to tithe. But let's see.
She can have all her money too, right?
Well, California has a lot of casino areas up in the mountains that Indians have. So so we need to, that is a Thanksgiving prayer. Let's see now. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. Is she quarantined in Cindy's house?
No, she's in quarantine in Charlotte, in her own house.
In her own house, okay.
All
right. Okay. That's serious. Okay. All right. And
with all the events going on in the world, I think we just need to be aware that there's stuff going on.
Oh, it's
we need to be in prayer for
things going on. You know, the headline things are of course getting our attention, but what's happening in Israel is really severe. The forces have moved in and they've marked off areas of Israel, of Jerusalem, that Jews are not allowed to go into. But there is no area that Muslims are not allowed to go into. No area. And so that's intensifying. Syria is having severe trouble right now. And so There's just rumblings everywhere. There are rumblings everywhere. The only problem with this is, what's the main problem with this? The world, will bring judgment day. It's almost here. The end of the world. What's wrong with that? What's got to happen before the end of the world? Well, and 1,000 years, 1,000 year millennium. So that's one of the problems with that.
Oh yeah, plus me on calendar says 2012, so maybe that's off too. You know.
Yeah, remember that, the calendar. So there are all kinds of dates floating around. Yes.
Two things. One, when you mentioned the world stuff, it's kind of interesting that the dates are traveling, and everywhere they leave, all these things end up happening. They left Egypt, all the riots started there after they left Australia. All
Oh,
yeah.
After
they left Japan, they got all that.
No.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in Italy. They're in Italy.
Yeah, I didn't know if they left Italy.
Just
tell them
not to come back to the United States.
Because they've been ahead of everything, which has been really interesting.
Wow, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, but the other thing is last Wednesday's prayers got shredded. And so if there were prayers last Wednesday, I could not remember what they were to put on.
Should have bothered me.
So, well, I think you had one for somebody at work, but I couldn't remember.
A lady,
maybe?
Yes, it's a lady. His husband's a buddy.
Yeah, someone.
Yeah, he still lives in here. He does have the Justice Department in his kidney. And we are doing dialysis.
Now, when are Larry and Brian due back from?
They came back already.
They're back home safely? Okay, that's an answer to prayer from Sunday. So that's good. All right. Just let y'all know, Jim Langston and I talked with Tony before class tonight. He's very busy. This is his prime time of the season right now with landscaping and all of that. But he came over, and we had a very good talk. And he's just most agreeable to $1,500 a month, down from 21.
Oh, good.
And we get to use the room upstairs, for the young people on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And just to tell you the kind of heart he has, he shared with Jim and I tonight. He said, I know how finances are, Herman. He said, I wasn't going to tell you until it came through, but it didn't. It fell through. He said, I have been working, and I have no idea where, but I've been working on a little church building that I wanted to buy, and I was going to give y'all, and I wanted to kind of get it worked. It would be the same financial arrangement that you had here, so it'd just be a cross move, not up or down, a cross move to it, and this kind of thing. But I couldn't get it all worked out and everything, so. But I just wanted you to know I was working on that, and so that's what kind of art he has, and he feels about us. So that's very good. And I told him that leaves us, if he does that, in fact, I showed him, had it written out, that leaves us about $240 short a month from what people suggested that they'd be able to give, and if he lowers it to $1,500 a month. And so we'll just keep looking at it. Now, right now we have, because of a wonderful contribution a couple of months ago, we have enough that we could cover that loss each month. If everyone gives what they suggested they give, and that's going to be the kicker. You know, it's one thing to put it down, but it's another thing each month to come through with it. So that's my prayer. I'm just not, I think one reason that I don't have a building or land or anything, I've just never been a fundraiser from the day I got out of seminary. And that would have been the time for me to have done something. As I look back in the flesh, look back over, and boy, because that was, you know, property wasn't real all that expensive. And in fact, we jokingly talked about getting what is now the Magic Time Machine restaurant up here on Beltline, because Beltline was just a two-lane little road way back in 74. And but I didn't. And so that's that. But
you said a lot of souls, and now a big district for booze, you know.
But so it's just one of those things, and we'll just see what God has in store as far as the year 2011. We may not have to worry about it too long, but I'm not putting much stock in that. So yeah. So. But I wouldn't go out and decrease all your income till after the 21st just to see what's going to happen. Okay, let's open the Bible, see the Gospel of John 16, and let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God, dealing with prayer, changing of history, and from one dispensation to another, one epoch of history to another epoch of history. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit inspiring the writers of Scripture to write down the things that you wanted down. And here, Father, we're looking at supposedly exact words spoken by Jesus Christ through the Apostle John. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in this very important passage of Scripture as time changes in history right before our eyes in this study. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 23. John 16. Verse 23, and in that day, this is the departure of Jesus Christ, ascension of Christ, that's going up to the right hand of God, the session of Jesus Christ, session is the seating of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. This would be the day of Pentecost. You know, one of the interesting things that you have to be so much, that to me is so much fun, people narrowing it down, May 21st, 2011, this type of thing. Well, when do you calculate your time? When Jesus Christ was born, Well, he actually was born in 3 B.C. He wasn't born right at B.C. and A.D. And then, if you think about it, you're still in the age of Israel up until 30 A.D. when Jesus Christ was crucified and rose and ascended, and then 10 days later sent the Holy Spirit. So you got to count all of that. When do they calculate when one period of time, a time period ends, another one begins, and all this? So these are all, to me, just left up to God. And I think that's leaving it in good hands. So, and in that day, you will ask me. Now, the word to ask is a different word than the second word in this same verse. This word is used for a familiar companion or friend asking a companion or friend. No question. Ask a question as to the events taking place in context. Got to interpret and understand this in context. The events taking place, specific questions. Then he says, truly, truly, introduces in the middle of a verse like this, introduces a new epic, a turn of events. And I go so boldly as to say a new dispensation. I say to you, for your advantage in understanding this, if you shall ask the Father, different word for asking now. The word for asking here is asking an inferior to a superior believer asking God the Father. See? For requests. Jesus Christ is no longer here, so they don't communicate with him face to face. All right? For anything. That gives this, and we understand now, this means it gives glory to Jesus Christ and to the Father. He will give it to you, that's his grace, in my name. So we talk a lot about how prayer must be asked in Jesus' name. Prayer is answered in Jesus' name. When God the Father answers our prayers, it's in Jesus' name. That helps us to understand, well, then what does in Jesus' name mean? If not only does it have to deal with our asking, it has to do with his answering. That helps us to understand this is for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the benefit of Jesus Christ. So let's start tonight and note some principles about prayer. Just note, put down before we move to verse 24, let's note eight things. One, we should pray because Jesus Christ beckons us to pray. Prayer was very important to him. He desired that it be important to us. It was very important to Christ. Often in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he steals away to pray. He's always going somewhere to get away for a while just to pray. So prayer is a way of fellowship. It's a communion with God during our lifetime here on earth. Prayer all through the Old Testament has characterized men who sought after God. Let your request be made known to him. And so you have great people in the Old Testament that were constantly in prayer to God. And Samson comes to mind. He was in prayer to God at some of the most inopportune times. Now, point two, prayer is the way that we can obtain from God things we need in our life to fulfill our mission. So, point one, prayer is a way of fellowship with God. It's communion with him. I feel sorry for couples, married couples, that don't communicate, don't talk with each other other than shouting. But fellowship is built on communion. And prayer is our communion with him, fellowship with him. And then secondly, prayer is the way we obtain from God things for our life, our mission in life. Point three, prayer, if we understand the context of where we've been studying now, prayer is an extension of our talking with the Lord during his absence. If we were with the disciples' time, Mary, Martha, all these, Lazarus, the one that raised from the dead, we talk with the Lord. Well, he's not here. So prayer is an extension of our talking with the Lord. It's an extension of their talking with the Lord. But it's also an extension of our talking with the Lord during his absence on earth. Now, we wait to see him as he is. 1 John 5:4, we wait to see him as he is. And we will be with him forever. But right now, when we pray to the Father, it's an extension of our conversation and talking with the Lord himself. Point four. Prayer was a vital part of our Lord's life when he walked as we do on the earth. In his human body, he is our example of prayer. And I started to go through and just show you verse after verse after verse of prayer. But it's saturated with how much he prayed. It was very important to him, vital part of his life. Five, and let me just say here also about especially point one and point three is an extension, fellowship and extension. Let me tell you about our God. I don't know if you know it or not or realize it or not, but Christianity is unique. The religions of the world have ritual prayer. They have ritual prayer. The Muslims are down on their mat and bowing their head. The Jews at the Wailing Wall, they have ritual prayers. The Muslims, all these people have ritual prayers. They don't have a personal God like you and I do. They don't have a God that they can just go through with everything from I can't find my dog to very serious things. Not that that's not serious. But it's just, we can communicate with him. We can have, there is no person who has a great ability of prayer. Every believer can pray. It isn't a matter of am I saying the right way and everything. I love My Fair Lady, and Henry Higgins was talking in one of his songs, and he said, you know, if people would spend more time and think about how they're addressing the Father instead of offending his ears, they might get more answered in their prayers. And but in reality, that's not true. And it's just a form of communicating with a personal, omnipotent, sovereign God. When you think about what we have the privilege of doing. All right, point five. Prayer is one of the most important ministries of Jesus Christ right now. Prayer is one of the most important ministries of Jesus Christ right now for us while he's at the right hand of God the Father. And we're here in the flesh. Now, we won't take the time to turn to it, but you can look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. That's how important this is to him. That right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding in our behalf. Six, prayer is the way we obtain grace in time of need. Grace is the way we obtain, our prayer is the way we obtain grace in time of need. Let's do turn to Hebrews 4. I think you should be, want to see this, have it in your mind. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm dealing with another frustration in dealing with. We're getting ready to close out the basic study on Sunday morning, 9:30, and we're going to cover 1 Corinthians, and I really do want to go through it quickly. And I can just see me and just getting through chapter 1 and 2 now, just getting bogged. And I picked up a excellent book on another book of the Bible by a Greek scholar, Alfred Plummer, a long time ago. And he just kind of dealt with the Greek. He didn't really deal with a lot of theology, and he flowed. He made a flow through the book, and I thought, well, you know what, that might be the solution. Just kind of let the text read for itself and just go through and not worry about a whole lot of theology. But anyway, Hebrews, and I've been reading in Hebrews, is one of the things that caused me to think of that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore draw near, that's in prayer, with confidence to the throne of grace, in order that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. This is our God, people. We can approach the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Point 7. Prayer with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving gives freedom from anxiety and in place of anxiety gives peace. We're thinking about what we're thinking. We're thinking about what we're thankful for. Let's look at Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6, a very important passage in dealing with prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is powerful, people. Let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. 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 That's easy to say. It's easy to say. It's not that easy to experience in your life. But as you grow in the knowledge of Christ, it's kind of like the faith of Abraham in Romans. First, it must come before you do not waver in your faith. Got to have that assurance of God, that knowledge of God, that understanding of God. And then there's no wavering of faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then finally, point 8. We are instructed to be in prayer at all times. We are instructed to be in prayer at all times. Certainly, people, you want to take time out, hopefully every day, just you and the Father, not while you're driving, not while you're watching TV, not while you're talking on a phone, but you just turn off all these things and spend some time in prayer. But all day long, we should be in prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now this, we've taken up in the last 3 or 4 weeks a lot of points on prayer. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We should pray for one another. Pray for each other. Okay, let's go to John 16 now. Let's look at verse 24. John 16, verse 24. John 16:24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, in order that your joy may be made full. Wow. There's so many things added here. There's so much going on in this one verse. Before we take it apart, just look at here. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Now, we're talking, we won't go back to Adam, but from Abraham on, they've never prayed in Jesus' name. Ever since Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Samuel, whoever you want to talk about, they didn't pray in Jesus' name. None of the Jews have. None of the Gentiles have. Not prayed in it. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Now he says, ask and you will receive. But look at the reason for it now. that your joy may be made full. Now, I'm doing some work on joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Joy is also, there's another dimension of joy that comes with answered prayer. So we're going to take a look at understanding this joy that we can experience on earth. Okay, let's take a look now at the verse. First of all, we have the aorist active indicative, followed by the present active imperative of the same verb, iteo. Until now you have asked, see, that's the aorist active indicative, nothing in my name. And then he says, ask, and that is in the imperative, present active imperative. So the aorist gathers up their whole life. You've never asked anything in my name. You've never prayed to the Father in my name. Gathers it all up, all their prayers. And then now he goes to the present tense. Now I want you to ask. And iteo, so this goes from an inferior to a superior. So this is referring to prayer to God the Father. So let's see how this reads now. Until now, change in history, change in prayer. With the coming and the departure of Jesus Christ, we have a change in prayer. You have asked, and we understand now, God the Father. Doesn't say God the Father, but because of iteo, which is the word for asking from an inferior to a superior person, for nothing in my name. Now, certainly these men have prayed to God the Father, as Jews have now for almost 2,000 years. So what's going on here from the time of Abraham? So what's going on here? Well, they have prayed to God the Father of Abraham, the Father of Isaac, and the Father of Jacob. And in some cases in the Old Testament, even says, pray to God the Father of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And as long, a long line of ancestors have prayed this way. And you could just go through anybody in the Old Testament you want, Moses, David, Samson, anybody. So they've all prayed to God. We have recorded a number of prayers of David and of Moses. So they prayed to God for a long time, but never in Jesus' name. Never have they asked in Jesus' name. They have not prayed to God the Father in the name of this Jesus. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. To God the Father of Jesus. Okay? Let's know a couple of things. One, first, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. First of all, this goes back to chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. So let's go, just take a look very quickly. Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. All right. Verse 13 of chapter 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, they are beckoned to ask in His name, in His merit, His authority, authority of the Son. Now, secondly, up to now they have not asked God the Father for anything in Jesus' name. Now, they have been instructed to ask God the Father, and they not only have hesitated since John 14, they haven't done it yet. And sometimes people tell us to do something, and okay, no, do it now. Do it right now. And that was what Jesus Christ was saying. So he says, until now. Now, the now here is technical for the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, beginning of a new order, beginning of a new dispensation, ascending of the Holy Spirit. Until now you have asked God the Father for nothing in my name, Jesus. Ask, imperative, God the Father, and you will receive that your joy may be made full. Okay, point one. I'm sorry we do points, but it just helps us develop our thought pattern. down from one point to another. The Lord's statement is not any form of reprimand of the disciples. The Lord's statement is not any form of a reprimand of the disciples. A new dispensation is beginning. Two, the Lord is beckoning them to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's what He's really beckoning them to ask. He's beckoning them to ask for the Holy Spirit. I'll come up with this. For which they have not asked. If you understand this, okay, then follow what I'm doing. If you understand that He's beckoning them to ask for the Holy Spirit, you'll understand the phrase, that your joy may be made full. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no way your joy is going to be made full. Okay? So, He is beckoning them to ask for the Holy Spirit, and He will make their joy full. Fulfill, He will fill them with this joy. Okay? Any questions there? Does that flow for you? Okay, point three. We do not have to ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did. We do not. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. But these men were on the very edge of the beginning of a new dispensation. And they could have asked for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit even before the church age actually began. Because see, really, technically, we're still in the history of an age of Israel. We'll be in the age of Israel. And most people say technically until the exact day of the day of Pentecost. Well, I don't know that God's running a 24-hour clock up there, a digital clock. But somewhere in this time frame, we move from the age of Israel to the church age. Point four. This joy is most certainly not a joy related to the circumstances of life. How do we know that? Because He's just told them the world hates you. He's just told them horrible things are going to happen to them. He's just told them some of the things that the world is going to want to do. Kick you out of the synagogue. Put you to death. And yet, He's saying here, your joy can be made full. See? So in spite of the hatred of the world, and the abuse by the world, in spite of all of this, they can actually experience complete joy in their soul. It's going to help us understand what joy is. That is the joy in their soul. The joy of knowing the truth of Jesus Christ. The joy of knowing where they stand in history. The joy of knowing that the moment they die, they're face to face with the Lord. That He's gone to prepare a place for them. There's a joy. There's an inner contentment. There's an inner pleasantness about this. An inner joy. It's inside when you're suffering. That's why when we get to Romans chapter 4 or 5, where it says, we exalt in tribulation. Not for it, but in the midst of it. So we're going to be relating some of these things with that study also. So in the midst of all of this suffering, they can experience this joy of where He is. The joy of knowing that they will be with Him forever. It's a supernatural joy that comes to them from the Holy Spirit. Point five. This joy goes back to chapter 15, verse 11. Let's look at chapter 15, verse 11. Chapter 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. People, it's just so important as we read through these things that we understand how much Christ really cares about us. How much Jesus Christ loves us and cares about us. He wants us to have His joy in the midst of the world hating us. in the midst of adversity, tribulation, all these things. Jesus Christ desires that we just have an inner joy here. And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's so powerful. We just sort of, man, just kind of get used to the divine nine to read through them. But if you stop and think about each one, they're so vital. This joy, this tranquility of soul, waiting for the outcome of what God is doing. And knowing that God is in control, there's this joy that's inside of the soul. So point five, this joy goes back to 15:11, where Jesus Christ desires us to have His joy. Here again we learn about spiritual love. Spiritual love desires for all to have inner joy. That all believers enjoy this inner joy was part of, was of great importance to Jesus Christ. It's of great importance to Him that we experience this joy. Just look at 15:11. Look at 16:22. 15:11, 16:22. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes away your joy away from you. Verse 24. And then look at chapter 17. We're coming up to His prayer. Chapter 17, verse 13, in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. But now, He's talking to the Father. But now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy made full in themselves. People, this is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Totally dependent upon Him. To have this joy. And His joy is going to be accompanied with an understanding of what God is doing. Okay, now let's note the phrase, that your joy may be made full. That means to be complete. Now, where does this come from? That your joy may be made full. Okay, note the context. To understand made full. Where does this come from? There are basically two kinds of joy here on earth. One, part one, joy that is dependent upon circumstances. Joy that is dependent upon circumstances. Look at verse 20, 16:20. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. So here, joy is in contrast with sorrow. So there's a joy that is associated with circumstances of the world, and when they're not going well, the joy is not there. This is obviously a joy of circumstances. First sorrow due to His crucifixion, and then joy due to His resurrection. So there is a joy, that a happiness, that depends upon what's happening. See? Happiness, happen, they go together. So there's a joy that comes with what is happening, the happiness related to it. And this is the kind of happiness that even an unbeliever can experience. Point two. But there is a joy that is inside of us, independent of what is going on outside of us. There is a joy inside, independent of what's going on outside. Point three, this joy that the Lord is speaking of in 16:24 is a joy, an inner happiness that is supernatural. It is supernatural. I've had a very interesting morning, the last two mornings, yesterday and this morning. Olivia, you remember Olivia from Taiwan? I've been teaching her yesterday, her doctoral students, and today her students working on a master's, and via Skype, and she wanted me to teach on spiritual love. And yesterday, we didn't really have time. I went over and talked for about an hour and 20 minutes yesterday, but not quite that long today. And one of the young ladies in the class, she was listening, and I could tell by her question. I'm sure she was not a Christian. So she said something to the effect that much I could understand. This sounds very good, but how do I have this love if it's not of the human? And is this philosophy? Is this what is this? And so I'd already given the gospel, but it gave me another opportunity to give the gospel that this joy is supernatural. It's supernatural. And then another one said, well, then why are we studying it? And I said, one, it gives me the opportunity to give you the gospel, an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. And then I said, and then secondly, to see what love should be. See what love should be. And see if you can make your love this way. You can't do it. Flesh cannot do this. But so it's very difficult to explain. This is why I have trouble when people want me to read 1 Corinthians 13 at a wedding. Oh, love is patient, love is kind, and everybody's sitting there, oh, it's so wonderful. It isn't. It cannot be manufactured. It can only be, if I wanted to do it right, I'd have to teach a Bible class at every wedding that wanted that read. Now, before we read this passage, let's have a Bible class here. And you say that. You say that. Bride's mothers will not say that. But it's supernatural. You can't fake this. You know when it's there, and you know when it's not. This is something that cannot be faked. So under point three, this joy is supernatural. We've already seen that the love that Jesus Christ is speaking of, that he made in the new commandment, love one another as I've loved you, was also supernatural. A love that is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5. See? So it is with this joy. This joy is supernatural. It does not depend on the circumstances related to this earth. It is not a joy that a person, a believer or unbeliever, can think themselves into. Even a believer cannot do this in the flesh. Even a believer cannot experience this joy in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans 14 for a moment. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God, that's the kingdom of God here on earth. You and I are living in the invisible, spiritual, real kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You can't eat this, you can't drink that, and all this. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This joy is of the Holy Spirit. This joy is not related to this earth. We're in the kingdom. This is why all this battle on the new covenant. New covenant to Israel, new covenant to the church. Are they the same? Are they different? How are they different? All these type of debates that go on in the Jeremiah passage. So what we're looking at is, yes, we're part of the new covenant. But we're in the invisible spiritual kingdom. Now, theirs will be an earthly kingdom. Physical earthly kingdom that will come about in the millennium. But you and I live in the kingdom of God right now and by virtue of walking in the Holy Spirit. Okay, point four. Joy that the world experiences comes from the circumstances of life. Or, in the case, some case, people can emote themselves into a pseudo-joy, a psycho-joy. Even some have the mind ability to think themselves, create a state of tranquility in their mind. And they call that joy. But people, that's not the joy that the Holy Spirit gives. This is not something you and I can manufacture. Stress, anxiety, depression, sad come upon people due to circumstances in life, due to a breakdown in their thinking. This joy has nothing to do with circumstances of life. And it doesn't have anything to do with your sitting there thinking real hard. We keep our mind stayed on Him. Just your mind thinking Him, who and what He is. He's the Son of God, my Savior, my friend. And the Holy Spirit, when you're in the power of the Spirit, pours in this joy. Point five. There is yet another fruit of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is talking about. The joy. The joy is a fruit of the Spirit. He's talked about love, now he's talking about joy. This joy is available to every believer in Jesus Christ. But few experience this joy, especially in difficult times. Well, they keep their mind set on the things that are going on in their life. How horrible things are. How horrible they think things are going to get. And we saw Sunday morning dealing with security. They lose their security that they had secure in their money and their finances and their health and this and that in a relationship. And it all changes. And they fall apart inside. So, this joy is not enjoyed, experienced in life. Keep your eyes stayed on Him. Point six. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is amazing how many believers walk by sight. And you can tell if you're walking by sight. Stress, anxiety, and depression. You're walking by sight. When those things overcome us, we know we're walking by sight. It's amazing how many walk by sight instead of by faith. You walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, He slowly starts giving you this joy. You can experience this joy made full as you walk. Point seven. For your joy to be full, to the maximum and constant. For your joy to be full to the maximum and constant, look at Luke 11, please. Luke 11. Years ago, we used to have a bulletin. This was on the bulletin. Luke 11, verse 28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Blessed, be translated, happiness, inner happiness. Happiness are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Now the word observe it, the King James says, keep it. The NIV says, obey it. The New American Standard says, observe it. Now the Greek word means to watch. To watch. Velasso means to watch. Comes from the noun where we get the word sentinel, a watchman. It indicates an activity of a watchman to watch over, to take care of. That's what this word means. Paul exhorts a pastor teacher to watch over sound doctrine to the soundness of truth. Well, first of all, you have to know truth. You have to know the Word of God. Then you guard it. And yes, it does mean to obey, but you got to understand what you're obeying. Means to keep walking accordingly. And what does the Word of God tell us to do? Walk by faith. Walk by faith. So in that sense, it does mean obey. When most people use the word obey, they're talking about the Ten Commandments or something, like commandments. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. So this means that we are to grow in the Word of God, obey it, that is to walk by faith, and then you'll experience this happiness, this joy. And finally, point eight. What is joy? What is this commodity that the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts? Webster relates it to a state of well-being. But for the believer, the Holy Spirit gives a consciousness of well-being in Jesus Christ. So we bounce off. We don't shun Webster. We come off of what Webster's saying. Webster, in defining joy, he talks about it being a state of well-being. Well, when you're in suffering, in tribulation, you're not in what the world would call a state of well-being. But what the Holy Spirit does, he gives the consciousness of our well-being in Jesus Christ. Peace that we just studied in Romans chapter 5, in harmony with joy, with God. Joy being well in a relationship, being happy in our relationship with Him. How do we attain this joy? By nothing we do here on earth. Not by being good, not by sitting down, thinking pleasant thoughts. It's by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Keeping your mind stayed on Him. In closing, let's turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, the life that you want me to live, the journey you want me to go on. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And let's read verses 10 and 11 together. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. And how are we righteous? Imputed righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, experiential righteousness given to us by the Holy Spirit. And shout for joy, you who are upright in heart. So this joy is something that Jesus Christ desires us to have, as he said over and over in these closing chapters of his life here before the crucifixion. And it's very emphatic. He wants us to experience this joy. This is one reason he sends the Holy Spirit, people. One reason he sends the Holy Spirit is so that we can have this joy. Now, there are a lot of reasons he sent the Holy Spirit, but chapter 14, I'm going to send you another paraclete, just like me. And part of the reason for that is that you may have my joy and you may have it complete. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we're just amazed at how all this works. Each of us here tonight are just so familiar with tribulations and disappointments and hurts related to this earth, in relationship with people, physical, financial. We just shake our head that what we're seeing here is that even in the midst of tribulation brought on by the world that hates us, a tribulation that comes into our journey in life, that your Son desires us to have this inner joy be made complete. And it doesn't depend on us orchestrating our lives so that we don't have any problems, so that we don't have any tribulation. You've never promised you would not bring tribulation in our life. But you told us that we, through this tribulation, we can experience this joy, this peace. Father, we thank you so much for the words of Jesus Christ, the words given to us in this Bible on how we can experience this joy and this peace, Father, regardless of what's going on in life. Pray now that your Spirit will take the things we've seen tonight, make them become a reality to us, Father, that we may experience this joy in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.